Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Mana on the Rocks. It is I, actually as good at CDH, Joe, joining me this week, as always, my wonderful co-host. You know him as the one and always, Atlas.
Hello, everybody.
This week, it's a back-to-back double feature. We got another tournament that we went to, and it's a doozy for one of us. I'm not going to spoil anything now, or maybe the title is. I haven't fully decided on the title yet, but it's a doozy for one of us. And we talk all things at Gabby's latest tournament. But we got to talk about the latest news. Atlas, what the people got to know?
Let's see. I think the main things are that starting in March, we're going to see some new tournaments popping up. We've got on March 8th, there's a small tournament in Tacoma put on by Soundside Gaming. And it is... exactly what the name is, but it's going to be at Defiant Fox Games. This tournament is actually going to be a bronze event on the top deck circuit, so check that out.
Points
should be pretty interesting. Then immediately the next day, there's going to be another event, the Cascade Clash, March 9th and 10th, two-day event up in Bellingham or Mount Vernon, Washington, somewhere up there, done by Aegis Games. So go ahead and check that out online. Get registered if you haven't. It's going to be the biggest event in the Pacific Northwest in a very long time. 128 player cap for a two-day event with about like $3,000 or $4,000 in prizing. So go ahead, definitely gonna want to register for that if you haven't yet. I know that we're all aiming to be there, so it should be a really good experience with a lot of talented players showing. And then I think the next one that I know of after that is gonna be March 30th. Is going to be the next CEDH group event. That's going to be give me one sec. I'm double checking. But yeah, it's going to be March 30th. And they are calling that event CEDH5 Take the Crown. So go ahead and get registered for that if you haven't already. Great tournaments, great people, really great prizing. So go ahead and sign up for that. I know that a lot of us are going to be there as well. After that, it's just, for me at least, it's Punt City in April, Punt City 3. So we'll see any of y'all listeners over there for that one. But that should be a really fun experience. I'm looking forward to that's. I think that's it for the news, though.
I think that does about cover it. What it doesn't cover is this week's lucky patron. Shout out to Rez. Thank you very much for supporting us, my friend. You should come on down and get a drink with us. Gabby's Love the Cards and Comics. We've started the new season of the year.
We have. Just this past weekend.
Yeah, just this past Saturday. Thanks for everyone who came out there. I met a lot of people who were like, oh, listen to the show. Thank you. That it means a lot. It's always cool seeing the faces for people who listen to us ramble on and on about cardboard. It's super cool and super humbling. It's always a fun time. But yeah, so the event, I was nervous going into this one. I first time I felt nerves in a while going to a major, I think.
Yeah, you just completed one like what, 2 weeks ago, the CDH tournament. You weren't nervous for that one?
Not really. No, that was kind of like the one that I was expecting to like set the pace kind of for me. Mm-hmm. And set a pace we did. I didn't really feel nervous like at all going into that one. I'm like, okay, I know my deck. I know like how to navigate the field. It's just more so a matter of I'm ready. Let's do this. I think every single time we do a home game, I always get a little bit more nervous because I feel like the stakes are a bit higher, kind of.
That's so funny. I always feel the inverse. I feel like the
really?
Stakes are low. Yeah, yeah. The prizing's not as big. The field's never quite as large, so I never feel like it's still super, super like good players, but I never feel like it's quite the same like level as something as when I travel away.
I think that's definitely fair. I don't know. I guess it's for me, like I want to do well at my home store, I think is where a lot of it like comes from.
That's totally fair. Yeah.
You know, and like just the way that like we all are, like I don't want to do bad at our home store. Then I'm gonna get clowned on at the weeklies and just like a whole thing. I mainly just want to avoid that, and it's been like a decent motivator. But yeah, no, I woke up and I'm like, okay, I feel ready, but also like kind of nervous because anything could happen there, and our meta is so different in comparison to everything else, and me and you made changes to the list at last, like, kind of last minute.
Literally the last second.
Literally the night before. Night before, we were like, okay, we're making these changes. I'm like, okay, I think these changes are going to be good. And I'm like, well, the deck still played, like, 90% the same. Honestly, none of the changes we made really came up until, like, semis for me. Oh, spoiler alert. But, yeah, the deck was good. I played Hellcats this time around. You're on Kenrith, yeah?
I was playing my usual build. I unfortunately did not wake up ready and raring like you were. I was a little under the weather this time, and I'm still recovering from a bit of a cold. But put my best foot forward. Did all right.
Actually, on a similar note. Gabby's did make a post on Facebook, but because we have people here that were at the event, someone did call into the shop saying that they had a positive COVID test. So please, if you were at the Gabby's event this past weekend, please make sure that you're safe and you're healthy and all that stuff. Here we have some people here that might not have gotten that message. So taking advantage of that, you know, be safe out there.
Yep, check it out. I know. I was like, oh man, I'm sick going to this. And I went in there with a mask on, and it really panned out for me because I did not get COVID.
Yeah, I was sick afterwards, thankfully not COVID. I'm just generally under the weather. There's been a cold kind of going around in like the place I live in at work and all that stuff. So that in combination with being around, you know, 50 some odd people all 2 weeks humans in a row, probably not the greatest combination of things. It's okay. We're here. We're up. Yeah. So going to the event, we had, what was it, like 46 people, 45 people?
I want to say 45.
I think so.
There was a buy or something like that.
Yeah, there was a buy round one. I remember that much.
A buy or two. There were a couple of buys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we had 45.
Yeah, that sounds about right. We were following the current circuit standards for time, so we were doing 80 minutes no turns with a. This is something that our shops usually has historically done ever since I think our second or third event, where we do a cut to top 10, and then out of Swiss, first and second place out of Swiss are locked for the final table. And then the remaining 8 players play for spots 3 and 4.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good metric, I think, for smaller events.
Yeah, especially for like if you don't hit like that 64 cap or even like around like 52. I
feel like you have to get to 50 before top 16 really makes sense.
Yeah. So otherwise, like you get a lot of people just in like top 16, and then you. Yeah, I think for our usual size, the cut to top 10 works pretty well. So talk to me about your games, because me and you hardly talked all day. Me and you were just busy grinding and talking to everyone.
Other ends of the school.
Yeah, basically were, yeah.
Swapping all day. My games were pretty, they were pretty all right. My first game was fine. It was me, it was like, honestly, it was kind of a nightmare pod. It was me, Talion, double Kitten. So I had a turn 2 Talion. The Talion list had a turn 1 Talion, and both the Kittens were like ready to go. I think so. Basically, when I say land pass, the next Kitten goes like land rock Kitten, which the other Kitten force of wills the Kitten.
One of those pods.
And then plays like land dork pass, and then the Talion player goes turn 1 Talion. I go turn 2 Talion. We both set to 2. Both Kittens cast their Kittens. We each draw like a card, 2 or 3 cards. And then the Talion gets to their turn. They pass. I miss a land drop. They've hit a land drop. Kittens are all hitting their land drops and mana and stuff. So I'm kind of sad at this point. I was really expecting my Talion to gas me into something. It did not. And then at the end step, right before Talion's turn, they dismember my Talion. So I baby their Talion.
That's tough.
So all of the draw engines have disappeared. Both Kittens have resolved their commanders, and the world's just like starting to feel like a nightmare. I think, what is it? One of the Kittens like starts to go for a win, but realizes that they're not going to get through the 2 pieces of interaction that were being represented or something. So instead they slam a 3 ball and with nothing to do. They just play Trinisphere, and then pass the turn, which makes everyone really sad, because I think of the players at the table, the other Kinnan had 3 lands.
Oh, that means they can cast a spell, though.
They could cast 1 spell. I think they cast like a Grim Monolith, and then the Talion player plays a Cursed Totem, which the Kinnans both groan at. I still miss... I continue to miss land drops, so I only have two lands, no draw engine, nothing to do. I meant like discard for hand size and pass now. Kinnan 1 resolves like Hezeret and just starts like tutoring up artifacts, like Mirage Mirror.
Just doing the thing.
They're just ready.
Yeah.
Assault Monolith, Mirage Mirror end up on the field. The other Kinnan has like a Grim Monolith, a Lotus Petal in rotation. Talion has resolved their commander, Aristic Study, a Cursed Totem, a Grafdigger's Cage, several mana rocks.
Good lord.
I'm just like, what? The only thing I have going for me is that right before my lands are Sands Red, but right before that Trinisphere landed, I did Eladarmory's Call for Dockside Extortion. If I ever top deck a red source as a land, I will be able to cast it for like 20 and maybe get back into the game. Which does eventually happen is I find the land, play it, an Exotic Orchard. One of the Kinnans still doesn't make red. One of the Kinnans plays a Mana Confluence.
Oh, let's go.
Not really thinking about it. So now my Exotic Orchard was online, and I was able to, on one of the turns where Talion was tapped kind of low, I was able to resolve my Dockside, made like 20 treasures and passed the turn. And at that point, I was just kind of like, I still couldn't do much through a Cursed Totem or a Grafdigger's Cage, but I was sitting on the nuts. So I was just kind of waiting for my opportunity for Talion to like tap below the Trinisphere. And the Kinnans have like no cards in hand because they vomited everything on the table. And one of them keeps like, they keep developing dorks into a Cursed Totem. So they're just like developing all this stuff, tapping into this Trinisphere. So they're never gonna be able to interact. And then the other Kinnan has no cards in hand. And then they have like two, but it's kind of whatever. Then I'm just waiting for Talion to tap too low. And finally, they try and cast a Hullbreaker Horror. It resolves. I snap it. They can't defend it because of the Trinisphere. They pass round again. And then the next rotation, they try and overload a Psych Rift. One of the Kinnan players casts a Hullbreaker Horror in response. I allow the horror to resolve because they only have one mana source, so they can't cast the crop rotation they thought they were going to cast. They were going to bounce the Rift off the stack, but they forgot about their own three balls, so they couldn't cast the... the Cursed Totem was locking up their mana dork. They went to tap their Llanowar Elf for the extra two mana. They couldn't, because the Cursed Totem was locking them out. So I took that as an opportunity. I still have just all these treasures sitting here, because I'm the only red deck at the table, so I really wasn't that concerned about it. So I just let, like, 15 mana sit on the field for forever. I think at one point, I think I had maybe cast my Kenrith at one point in the past, but I just kind of sat there, waited for the chance. Rift goes on the stack, Hullbreaker Horror resolves, and I Tainted Pact for 3 mana, find a first removal spell for Grafdigger's Cage that I can, bounce the cage with an Odawara, and then I'm able to cord for an Eternal Witness, picking up the cord for a Gilded Drake to take the Hullbreaker Horror, and then I was able to assemble an instant speed variant of like one of my Saw and Half combos with Dockside Extortionist and Eternal Witness. And it made so much bloody mana because of the Kinnans and the blue black deck that I was able to play through the three ball, pay for every Rhystic Study, and bounce like all of the Talions and stuff that would have killed me before I was able to form off. There's also a Blood Chief's Ascension in play with 3 counters on it. But because
were you
of the way
spawning
that,
the triggers as well?
Yeah, because of Apnap order, all of my stuff would go to the graveyard and the triggers would go on the stack. But the way my combo set up, I was able to respond over the top of the triggers, pick stuff up out of the graveyard to make infinite mana over the top. And then I was able to, I forget exactly how. Oh, I had Kenrith in play. I did have Kenrith in play. Because finally I made infinite mana.
I feel like
mana.
The only way to do that is with Kenrith.
I think there's probably another out because I had a Hullbreaker Horror, but I don't remember what I was kind of thinking. But it didn't matter because I made infinite mana, and then I used the Hullbreaker Horror to bounce the Cursed Totem and then killed everyone over to the top of all the sugars and everything. And if anyone tried to interact, it's too late because it doesn't.
Nice.
And they're still under 3 balls. So yeah. So it was a little bit of a lucky win. Just kind of like had the nuts and nobody was able to get there through that 3 ball that just protected me. Game 2 was a bit of a non-game. I definitely misplayed a couple times. A couple of players in our pod did. We got absolutely murked by Malcolm Kettis. They just had such a good read on the situation. They got locked out by like a turn 1 Draenith Magistrate hella early, but they just resolved a bunch of draw engines and ended up going for a Breach Line that none of us saw coming, cast a Blasphemous Act, blew out the Dothi Voidwalker, the Draenith, and every other stacks piece.
I heard stories of Malcolm Kettis player casting Blasphemous Act all day today.
It was something else. That card was MVP for them. I heard they killed somebody to a pact because they knocked out their fifth their fifth mana for their pack trigger.
I think I heard about that one.
Yeah, like knocked off their mana dork. It was just, yeah, it was a really good play. I miscalculated. I played a mana dork, but I should have held up an extra mana for a Besage You and a counterspell and stuff like that. So that was on me. I miscalculated. And that was kind of like, that was kind of my theme for the day. It's like miscalculating by like one or two mana all day. And just kind of the way it went. My hand wasn't in it that day. I missed a couple of lines that I could have won in like one of my games by like, I just missed what tips I had available and things like that. So a little tough for that. And then game three, I also won. It wasn't a skill win. It was just literal RNG.
Hey, we take those.
So, I mean, I guess. They feel so bad, in my opinion. I like That's skill true. Wins. Like, somebody threw a Grand Demolisher on the stack, and everyone's like, oh my god, we're gonna lose. And they're like, I'm not winning this turn. I'm gonna be passing the turn. We're like, oh, okay. And I just like, well, since I have to fire this off now, and I was gonna do it at end step anyways, I tainted pack response, flip like three cards, hit reanimate. It seems like the first spell that matters that I hit. Because I have like
the value tainted
30,
effect.
I have like 30 cards in my graveyard because somebody tried to brain freeze me into a Blood Chief's Ascension, but I had the Besage You as an out. So I just ended up with like 30 cards in my graveyard, hit the reanimate, and I was like, this seems okay. There's an Itali on the battlefield. I'll clone the Itali, like pass like hopefully a Rhystic Study or something to gain some value, and then be back in this game because I wasn't doing anything for like literally all game. Itali had demonstrated a win. Blue Farm was holding the hostage with like a Fluster Storm that I knew to play around at some point. And then so reanimate, and then I get to my turn, and everyone's like, oh yeah, everyone had already said yes for F6 except for this Fluster Storm, which is why we couldn't answer the Grand Abolisher. So I top deck, I literally just top deck this Placer Kitten. I was like, oh okay, cast this Placer Kitten, no this can't be a Fluster Storm, cast reanimate on my like, clone to clone Itali. I think they have to Fluster Storm it or something. I don't remember exactly what it is. They Fluster Storm that or something later, but either way, it didn't matter. Storm never got high enough. I could always just pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first Itali flip was four creatures, but one of them was Emiel. So it was one of the other decks Emiels. So I was able to just like flicker my stunt double, which was cloning Itali, to trigger Itali again. And then I hit like, and then the next round was like Vampiric Tutor, Mnemonic Betrayal, a counter spell and something else nutty.
Jesus.
And the table is just like, yeah.
I would too.
There was just, yeah. Sometimes you just hit the nuts and RNGs get to you, which is why Itali works. But
yep.
Then round four was fine. I had a strong hold on the game to begin with. I resolved a turn one Drana Magistrate against Blue Farm and Winota, and then Derevi was the fourth deck in the pod. I had like a solid grip on the table, just like staxing them out. Didn't really have too much of a win in sight, but I was just like, I was staxing down the table and just trying to like accumulate resources. Eventually, I knock out Blue Farm because they tried to go for a win, but they'd forgotten about a Ranger Captain, so they bled their win attempt on my turn. And so I go to combat, kill them, pass the turn. The table like rotates a couple times. All of the players, including myself, have like some miscommunication on like different things that are like happening or not happening. So there were some like miscommunications that resulted in some weird board states, and then which we didn't call a judge for, which literally we always tell you guys, call a judge. And of course, what did we not do?
Call a judge, of course.
We did not call a judge, of course. Didn't end up mattering too much, but it theoretically could have, so definitely call a judge. And then at one point, it just comes down to kind of a judgment call where I get attacked for lethal and I have to block with the Derevi player's Derevi, which I was like, hey, I think we're gonna lose the game if they get this card back. The deck can't win without it. And then and I got attacked anyway, so I had to block, and then we lost, which was unfortunate, but I still made it to semis, so that was good. And then I was just going fourth in my pod, so I unfortunately was not able to. I did successfully stop the first and second player to try and go off winning, and then I died to my own Talion trigger because somebody had reanimated it. I just didn't see that all the damage was going to play out that way, which was unfortunate. Like I said, I was not my finest showing. We'll get him.
He bleeds. He bleeds.
We'll get him next time.
Damn. Yeah, that sounds like that's a rough day.
It was like I said, not my finest showing, but you know, we all have off days.
That's true. That's true. Well,
on the other hand, you had a pretty good day.
I had a run. It was a decent day for me. So we'll get to the fun bits as we go along, but my day did not start off very, very good at all. My game one, I was seat two, going into a Garuda, a Corvold, and a Sisse. This is Max on Garuda. Check out the episode that we did with him. Good boy. We love him. Oh, God. It was such a weird game. So the Garuda player just didn't have a start whatsoever. We discussed afterwards, and they had a one lander and just kind of gassed so long as they could get a second colored source, and they just could not find it the entire game.
Never hit it.
It was bad. It was awful. I actually took notes on my hand, so I kept a two land, one rock, two tutor, one counter hand with a necromancy. So a pretty solid hand. The counter spell was a mental misstep, and my tutors were irrelevant, and it was a Chromox, I think, for my rock. Anyway, I'm like, okay, this hand casts a turn one Kinnan into turn two, like hold up some interaction or like a tutor or something, and like we'll just pivot around from there. So Garuda goes land pass, they go land pass. I go land Chromox into Thrasios pass. The Corvold starts setting up their stuff, and Sisse goes turn one deafening silence. I stare at the mental misstep in my hand. I'm like, I could counter this here, but it shuts off some weird storm lines from the Corvold player, and like I can just not go for breach this game, and like I can kind of just like slow play the rest of my hand. Like I think I'm fine with the deafening silence. It also doesn't really stop Garuda from going off. Like they can just go rock pass Garuda into a Stormwind that way.
I'm just like a sense of butt coming.
I didn't counterspell it. I let it resolve because I'm like, okay. I think this is ultimately going to be at least fine for me. Like, I'm technically the person that gets hurt by it the most, but I can play around it, and I'm like, I don't really care too much about it. But in response, the Garuda player goes Entomb, and I'm like, well, I don't think I can let an Entomb resolve from a Garuda player. So I just snap mental misstep it, and poor
dude
just...
Wait, did you have a necromancy in your hand?
Yeah, I kind of forgot about the necromancy when I saw that. I'm just like, oh, Entomb, this is a reanimator deck. I should counter this and deny them the resource. yeah, not my finest showing on that one, but it unfortunately didn't matter, I think, because they said that afterwards they were going to go for a Conch Sphinx. So I'm like, oh, that would have been like fine adjacent. Anyway, we start grinding for a bit. The Garuda player just has nothing. Sisse is starting to develop engine pieces. They land an early Smothering Tithe into a Sisse, and that kind of just ran the entire game, and eventually is how we ended up dying. The Sisse player just amassed so much mana, they were just able to go for it. But not before stopping the Corvold player, who very sneakily, and really good on them, they really slow rolled their piece as well. They just kind of like tossed out a Cloudstone Curie with nothing on the battlefield, and were like, okay, that's scary. And then cast a Birds of Paradise, passed. And then cast a Dockside for like five. And we went, yeah, that's a problem.
We'll get him.
So anyway, they start Cloudstone Looping, and the Sisse player just has them covered with a Mind Break Trap and just exiles a Dockside off the stack. So they just
go,
yeah, no, it was nasty. So they just go Corvold pass, and the Sisse player, I think I tutored for Oppo at some point, because I think it was a Vamp Tutor in hand, or Worldly Tutor, one of those two. Like, I think I'm just going to put this Oppo in hand. Oh, no, it was Worldly Tutor, I remember, because I specifically was like, well, this sucks that I have to reveal that I have Oppo in hand. Now they kind of can't go for it, or they have to build up double Wooburg to play around it, or have to land, like, a silence effect or something to force the action. But either way, there's an Oppo that's potentially in rotation. Going into their turn, their game-winning turn, they start off with three Fairy. I'm like, holy shit. That's the worst card I could possibly see right now, because that just clean answers Oppo and forces it out.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, I have to Oppo here. And they bounce it, and they think, and I'm about to hit them with slow play. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to be able to go for it, but I have to get lucky here. So they go Tyvar, they have mana, they go Agatha's Soul Cauldron to fix the mana, and then their Sisse is pumped. Oh, no, I remember. So we killed off the Birds of Paradise, forgetting the events. The Corvold player goes Corvold, sack the Birds of Paradise, goes into the graveyard. That's the only creature that hit the graveyard the entire game. Sisse goes first tutor, Agatha's Skull Cauldron, exiles the Birds of Paradise to put a counter on the Sisse to pump it up to a point where they can start grabbing three drops, which like no one could have possibly seen coming that they needed to go on that line specifically to get there, but I was aware of that now. They eventually climb into a Tyvar and are like, okay, I think I need to hit Bloom Tender here or Dockside, and I can eventually win off of this. literal third card milled with Tyvar. They hit Bloom Tender, and then they just climb into the Planeswalkers and just combo win from there. It was a brutal game. Brutal game.
Hey, that's tough.
Yeah, and we discussed it afterwards, and like, if the Garuda player got their second color source on time, they were sitting a mana drain plus so much other more control magic. It was an entirely different game if they were able to find their mana in time, and they just couldn't. So it was almost like a three player pod sort of. But whatever, we brush those off. We go to the next game. Next game, I am seat 3 in a pod with a Kinnan, an Atraxa, and a Korvold. This was a wild seat when Kinnan goes like land, dork. Think rock pass, like it's just super solid start from the Kinnan. I keep a very sketchy hand in retrospect, seeing how this game played out. I kept 5 lands and a Worldly Tutor and a Tainted Pact, and I'm like, these cards are just gonna have to. I'm like these cards are gonna have to do miracles if I want to survive. Thankfully they do perform some amount of miracles, and I'm like, well, I can guarantee get to 5 mana, and like hopefully like we'll just land a Thrasios and we'll just start grinding from there. Kinnan has a great start. The Atraxa player goes off. They go like Mana Crypt, Mana Vault, land, dork. It's insane. Like they just have a million mana, but they're just shoved on pips. They have 2 pips out of the 4 they need. I'm like, okay, they vomited their hand. Their entire game plan is get to 4 pips and cast Atraxa and refill from there. The game plan, we never let them get to that point. So end step, I go Worldly Tutor, find Bowmasters, because like I need to start picking off these dorks from both the Kinnan player, and keeping the Atraxa player off of mana is probably going to be good enough to like stall the game out. And it ends up working pretty well. The Bowmasters just kind of sits there and is just annoying and just eats up dorks. The Korvold player attempts. We start grinding for a little bit. The Korvold player inevitably goes for a Dockside and makes like 5. And then they try to chain of Smog Witherbloom Apprentice combo. But I'm holding Psych Rift, and I'm like, they're not. This is the best blowout I could possibly hope for in this instance. So they cast the Witherbloom Apprentice. They cast the Chain of Smog. I go, who are you targeting? Myself. They're gonna go, okay, I'm gonna repeat the loop. GGs. And I go, hold on. Start the loop. We're going to walk this through manually. Discard your hand, please. Okay. Hands discarded. Psych Rift with the trigger on the stack. Please discard your Witherbloom Apprentice. And they redirect the trigger to me because I'm the only person with cards in hand. It's 2 lands and a Tainted Pact. I'm like, sure, I'll discard my 2 lands. I think I had to discard an Emergent Zone. Was when the lands kind of sucked, but eh. Anyway, I'm kind of just like grinding. I have like random creatures.
You got them good there.
I got them real good. I love seeing that combo with a bounce spell in hand, because it means that you will not win at all. And your combo pieces are in the graveyard, so haha.
Yeah,
sure. I'll take my 2 or 3 life it'll take for that. Like, sure, whatever. Get this out of here though. We're grinding. Atraxa player eventually hits their colors they need and cast an Atraxa. They didn't pick the cards I thought they would pick. They picked a I forget exactly what they picked, but they had a couple choices of instants, and they didn't pick the counter spell. They picked an advantage card, but they pick up like a Rhystic Study and some other rocks, and they're able to like land a Rhystic Study and just kind of set up from there. And I'm like, well, this is gonna get crazy. I only have a Tainted Pact in hand. Let's just, you know, fish for something. Cast Tainted Pact, first card reveal is an Assassin's Trophy. I'm like, yeah, that'll do pretty nicely. I love cycling Tainted Pact for exactly one card.
So good.
Card.
It's so good.
The amount of times that Tainted Pact cycles for one card happens so frequently. I do like the card quite a bit. Anyhow, going to my turn. I forgot to mention, I draked the Korvold at some point. The Kinnan player goes for a Cord on 2. I have a Cord myself with just a bunch of mana and guys out. I have a Gaia's Cradle going at this point, like a Thrasios and an Eternal Witness and a Bowmasters and a token. So I go Cord. I'm like, I'm not getting op. Don't worry about that. I'm getting dual Caster Mage. It's substantially worse for you. I go dual Caster Mage, copy their Cord. Cord for 2 on my end, get a Drake and Drake the Korvold. I'm like, okay, I have a blocker for the Atraxa and I've got a card advantage engine. Let's just see what happens here. I top deck into my turn. I think it was a land or something. It wasn't anything like crazy or whatever. Going for attacks with the Korvold, sack it. I rip Metamorph off the top. I'm like, oh, that's a hot card. That is a hot card. Go to second main phase, cast the Metamorph, and everyone goes, well, that's an Atraxa. I'm like, it's an Atraxa, all right. Anyway, ETB on the stack, we're looking at 10. Just a god 10. Just every single card I could possibly need to see. I pick up like rock, advantage piece, Born Upon the Wind, a kitten, just everything I could possibly want.
I resolve
a kitten. I've got, you know, I just have everything in my hand. I'm like, okay, cool. We're gonna start attempting wins now at this point. And the kitten player spins randomly into a Spellskite. I read Spellskite, and I'm like, this says target ability. That blanks kitten. Actually, no, it doesn't, now that I think about it. anyhow, I ended up wasting my Assassin Trophy on the Spellskite thinking that was going to stop the kitten. I now realize in hindsight it didn't need to do that because it targets only things I control and they can't react.
Yeah, I was like, good luck swatting that your kitten ability to their Spellskite.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that, to be quite honest. I just read that it was just blanket any spell or ability. I went, that might stop me. I'm going to not
get rid of it. We'll not play that game.
Let's just play it safe. We're not going to get got by Spellskite here. Anyway, I'm just waiting for a decent window to try and go off with Born Upon the Wind. I have Kitten, Born Upon the Wind, and a couple of zero cost rocks with a dual caster mage and like an Eternal Wind. I just have gas on the battlefield, and I'm just ready to go basically whenever anyone's like even remotely tapping low. Kitten player taps out to spin Kitten. I go Born Upon the Wind. The Atraxa player has a Force of Will, and I'm like staring at the four mana that I have in my pool. I have a kitten, and I've got a Mind Break trap. I'm like, I think I let this one go. I could Mind Break trap, but that means I can't resolve the kitten, and if I can't resolve the kitten, then like it doesn't matter at this point. We'll just hold on the control plan and just pray we'll get to our turn. We eventually do. The Atraxa player hits me for like 15 or whatever. I'm like, sure dude, whatever, like I don't care about my life total at this point. I go untap into like immediately cast kitten, flicker it, get Born Upon the Wind, cast Born Upon the Wind. And me and the Atraxa player start fighting. At one point, they cast their own I cast Court of Calling with a Displacer Kitten and a Dual Caster on the battlefield. In response, they crack both of their fetches. I go, oh, this is too good. I cast a spell from my hand, flicker the Dual Caster Mage, recopy my other Court of Calling, get Opposition Agent, snipe both of their lands, see their hand. They were sitting on Born Upon the Wind Thoracle. I'm just like, holy shit. That's just insane. Absolutely insane. And then I proceed to win at instant speed over the top of a Fluster Storm trigger. It was just a nutty, nutty game.
Wild. That's what you love to see.
Oh my god. Those are the games I'm like, yeah, Kitten's such a sweet card. It just break the entire game, and Born Upon the Wind is just a disgusting card.
Yeah, that's especially like they're just sitting on Thoracle Born. Like they were just waiting for their opportunity right there.
Literally waiting for their opportunity. And I think if I play that turn any different, I think I get got by Thoracle Consult off of Born Upon the Wind. I was not calculating that. I figured that there were control pieces. I was not expecting Born Upon the Wind Thoracle. it's just wild, wild game. So that's two. Game three was kind of an annoying one, if I remember correctly. I'm seat four. There is a Malcolm Timna player, there's another Kinnan, and there's a different Sisse player from my round one.
Okay.
Yeah,
there was a lot of Kinnan there yesterday.
A lot of Kinnan and a lot
of
Sisse.
It is the best deck in the format, so.
Clearly. I don't remember a whole lot of details about this game. I do remember the Sisse player landed a Smothering Tithe and then a Sisse, and then we kind of just lost the game. that's about all I remember. My hand was kinda whatever. It didn't really matter all too much. Yeah, I do not remember a lot of details about this game, if I'm being honest. I'm starting to remember some details. So the Malcolm Timna player at some point tries to go for a Thoracle combo, and the Sisse player politics them into getting a Yawgmoth's Will to try and recoup some of their stuff after they were talking about getting a Tainted Pack for the Thoracle hand. Don't know how we managed to get that one, but I kind of see what they're doing. I'm like, yeah, Yawgmoth's Will is a really good card here. And they end up getting it, and I'm just like, oh no. And we talked about we talk about it afterwards. Like they biffed their combo like three times. They landed to Teferi, and they, instead of bouncing, I think the op that I landed that was shutting down the Sisse and them, they activate a One Ring into my Bowmasters that's on the battlefield, and they try to walk it back, and the Sisse player's like, no, you tapped your One Ring and said you're activating it. Sorry, you're doing that now.
Yeah,
and
just, them's the comp Ariels.
So we just blank the Teferi and are able to interact and then just potick our way out of it. And then Sisse player just untaps and wins because they had an unchecked Smothering Tithe and a Sisse out, and way to clear the op, because they had soul partition in hand. Just smothering Tithe and Sisse, man. There is not a better combo in the game. I will stand by that.
just don't let Sisse have nice.
Honestly, I try to, and it just doesn't work out half the
time.
Starting
my propaganda run now. Don't let Sisse or Kinnim have nice things.
No, really, really not. Those are just the decks that just seek to produce a lot of mana and have one singular payoff. And if you can cut them off with their one singular payoff, they're kind of okay to grind. Like, they're still in blue. They still have good pieces, but, like, the ceiling is substantially lower at that point.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, sure. Going into last round of Swiss, round four, I am finally seat one, going into a pod with a Malcolm Tevish, a Slimefoot in Squee, and another Kinnon.
Okay.
Just Jund's random reanimator combo. This game, I didn't take a note of my hand for whatever reason. I don't think it was anything super notable. I know I was clutching onto a Flusterstorm most of the game. It really revolved around the Kinnon player getting a just insane fast start out of nowhere, and then all of us kind of jockeying to just take care of them. At one point, we just murk the Kinnon player, just absolutely send him back to the Stone Age, and they were just having no fun. And the Malcolm Tevish player resolves their advantage engines, and they start going for it. And there's a Kite Sail Larcenist that comes down, and it gets counterspelled, I think? Yeah, I think counterspelled, because it ends up going to the graveyard, and they end up having a reanimate for the Larcenist. I, at this point, have Mox Opal, a Wishclaw Talisman that was passed to me from the Malcolm Tevish player with the promise that I was getting Force of Will specifically with it. I had Pitch Card in hand, and I'm like, I can maybe try something soon. And this just kind of guaranteed me protection. I'm like, I will get Force. I told him straight up, like, I will use this card to get Force of Will. I promise you on that. Didn't say when. I made it very clear that, like, I don't know when I'm cracking this, but when I'm cracking this, I'm getting Force of Will. And a One Ring with two counters on it. And I go, are you going to blink by One Ring? It would be pretty cool if you don't. And there's like, probably have the counter spell in hand, and I really need this to resolve to blank something on the Slimefoot and Squee player's table. And they're like, yeah, I won't blank your One Ring. I'm like, I pass priority on the reanimate. And I go, I'm going to blank the Wishclaw Talisman. I'm like, that's fine. The Wishclaw Talisman was just there to keep the Mox Opal online. I did not care about it whatsoever. Especially seeing as we cycled around to my turn, and I drew Force of Will for turn. I almost went,
oh my gosh.
I almost asked them, hey, how would you feel if I got a different counter spell because I drew Force of Will? I didn't say that. I just started accruing advantage, I think, at this point. And we go around another turn cycle, and the Slimefoot Squee is trying to set up something, and they go to Abrupt Decay the Rhystic Study that the Malcolm Tevish player has. I kind of assess the board, I kind of look at my hand, and like, I think I can go for it again on my turn, and this Rhystic Study is really the only thing that's stopping me from cleanly getting there. So the Malcolm Tevish player hard casts a Mindbreak Trap to clear the Abrupt Decay. I look at their mana, I ask them how much they have, and they cannot pay for a Flusterstorm. So I Flusterstorm the Mindbreak Trap, and they go, I think Joe just wins here off of this. And I, in my head, I'm like, I think I win here off. get to my turn. I've got Breach plus combo in hand, and I full send it and get there in flying colors. Your boy is two wins out of Swiss with a top 10 placement. That means I am a lock for 10th place. First semis in my life. I am ecstatic. I go to our little snack bar, and I'm like, I need the strongest energy drink you can have because I am gonna need it. Oh boy, do I ever need it. Holy shit. So, for context, when semis started, the shop started FNM for Modern. By the time semis ended, Modern was over. They played four round Swiss, or three round Swiss maybe. I think three round Swiss, because our game was about 3 hours and they ended a little bit before, and it's 50 minutes around, so yeah, I think three round Swiss. They had an entire Modern tournament by the time we finished our game, and holy hell. So going into the semis, we have the same Malcolm Timna player I played earlier, the same Garuda player Max that I met in game one. Really awesome that we both lost game one, round one, and then we meet each other in the semis. I thought that was really fucking cool. I thought that was so neat.
Story right there.
It was a huge story. I loved it. me in third seat, and then another Kenrith player in fourth seat. I keep three counter spells. Pact of Negation, Force of Negation, Pitch Card, two lands, and I think Italian. And I'm just like, yep, this is the hand I think I need to keep. I can stop an early win attempt. I can land a Thrasios, and I will land an Advantage Engine, and we will see where we go. I don't think I could have predicted the game that we had, but oh my god, that was one of the most stressful, long, brain-consuming, and satisfying games of CDH I think I have ever played. The game went 3 hours long. At one point, everyone on the table had Talion. Most of us were sub 15 life, and every single one of us was threatening instant speed lethal. No one wanted to be the first one to budge. We were all jockeying for any sort of advantage. There's so much stuff that happened.
Were all Italians set to two?
Three were set on two, one was set on one, and the one that was set on one, substantially worse than the one that was set on two. By a wide margin.
On two, lethal.
Oh my god. At one point, so I cannot remember the chain of events, I just have a lot of moments from this game. At one point, the Malcolm Timna player tempts lethal. They're going into their turn, they're set up for things, but they're at like three life. And they can't, and we know they have Thoracle in hand, and we're like, dog, you can't cast Thoracle, you die on cast triggers, you cannot do anything. And he was just like, I can't do anything. And it was just sad. We just bullied them into a point of submission. I blanked the Kenrith player's yard twice with an endurance. The second time was sick. So I pitch cast an endurance to stop like a value reanimation or something, because they're starting to loop Dockside. I'm like, okay, none of that garbage. Get it out of here. They go for another reanimate. I have SWAT in hand with a Thrasios on the battlefield and an endurance in my graveyard.
No! No!
Yeah!
You swap the activation to your endurance.
I swap the activation to my endurance and plank their graveyard for a second time. And they're like, you didn't have to do that. I'm like, no, I did have to do that. It was correct.
As a Kenrith player, that is absolutely tragic.
Oh my god, it reminded me of the days when I would play Chainer into your Kenrith, and I would just swap the activations to my stuff. Oh, relive the glory days. It was great. The Garuda player is actually online this time. I think their first Garuda attempt gets mana drained by the Kenrith. And at this point, I really strongly consider using my Force Negation. There were 2 points early game that I really debated using my Force Negation. The Kenrith player lands a one ring. I take a look at the pod composition, I take a look at my hand, and I go, this game's going hella long. This one ring is going to be a problem for them. Like, and it was. By the time their one ring got cleared, they were at one life. They had dumped a lot of mana into a lot of life for them to not die to their one ring. And it was up to like eight counters at some point. I do not know why they didn't go for the win. That's not true. I do know why they didn't go for the win. All of us were clutching at least two to three counter spells plus extra backup in case the entire game. We were so, so goddamn stacked. And every single time going into my turn, the Garuda player is like, don't go for it, dude. I have you Mondo covered. And I'm like, holy shit, he's right. He has me Mondo covered. I'm expecting like five counter spells plus something else. And I'm just like, I can't go for it. I just simply cannot go for it. So the entire game, we're all just jockeying for position. I find a Metamorph. It clones a Kenrith. And I'm like, okay, this is sweet. I am Hellcat, and I have a Kenrith on the battlefield. I kind of feel indestructible at this point. I can just do whatever the hell I want. And it kind of ends up being that way. I just land a Raw Displacer Kitten into a Dauntless Dispenser with a Mana Crypt. I'm like, I'm just going to flicker something. It is out here. It cannot be dealt with. This is just like a permanent threat until someone like Bowmasters it out of existence or something, which is essentially what happened. And oh my god, the Garuda player busts out some sweet tech. There's a flash clone that ETBs and kills something. They kill my Talion. The Kenrith player lands a Bowmasters. That in combination with another One Ring and a Rhystic Study just starts systematically taking apart my board. Meanwhile, I have like a Rhystic Study. I've had Italian the entire game. I'm discarding like two or three cards to hand size every single turn. It's just a nightmare scenario for everybody. No one can make any sort of inch. Any sort of push or pull that's that is being put on the table is meant with very much equal resistance, and we're all just timid. No one wants to go for anything. Until the Malcolm Tevish player, or Malcolm, I keep saying Malcolm Tevish, Malcolm Timna player gets knocked out of the game. I forget what knocked them out of the game. I think it was a lethal Bowmaster's trigger, because at some point we were like, we need to start eliminating people and start going for it. We just got to knock them out. Because that Dauntless Dismantler was locking both me and the Kenrith player out of Dockside loops the entire game. Had the Dauntless Dismantler not been there, the game would have been won ages ago. But no one wanted to remove it safely, and no one had the backup to fight through the protection on. So eventually when he goes, go into the Garuda player's turn, they're holding up interaction, and at some point I did a value entomb with a kitten to put a Hullbreaker Horde into the graveyard with a live Kenrith, and I'm just like, okay, this is an uncounterable way to put a Hullbreaker Horde onto the battlefield. Not that the card was uncountable anyway to begin with, but cheaper, easier to do, more flexible to be able to do so. Going into my turn on the Garuda player's end step, I activate Kenrith to put the Hullbreaker Horror onto the battlefield. In response, the Garuda player casts Necromancy. Oh my god, I start seeing stars. We are going to die right here, right now, and everyone's gonna, like, I can tell in my bones, someone's gonna win this turn cycle. We are all gonna have to blow our interaction on anything that can happen here, and it's just gonna be a nightmare. We let the Necromancy resolve. I have a removal spell in hand. In case something goes crazy, I can deal with it. They target dual caster mage. And I go, what? Yeah, sure. They go, they essentially flubbed the saw in half dual caster combo. They did it in the reverse order where they had dual caster on the battlefield first and then put saw in half on the stack. As soon as they put saw in half on the stack, oh, once dual caster mage was on the battlefield, I went, that doesn't work the way you think it does. Oh, and they go, oh no, it doesn't. And the worst part is the Kenrith player bled a dual caster mage because I had board upon the win. I was ready to go at instant speed. But they bled the dual caster mage, so I'm like, I cannot cast this Born Upon the Wind because they're going to copy it and win on top of me, and that's going to feel so bad. They cast dual caster mage onto a saw in half on the stack, and I go, yep, this is it. This is the game. They have a mana dork. They have a Bowmaster. It's Jover. I look at their mana. They don't have a red producer after doing that. I go, oh, well, if I can clear the Bowmasters, they can't generate infinite mana and haste everything to win the game. I'm like, okay, this seems doable. At this point, we're all using our counter spells. The Garuda player had substantially less counter spells than I was anticipating. They had two pieces of interaction. I for sure had them on three or four pieces of interaction. They had me convinced. They had everyone at the table convinced that they were sitting on every single counter spell in the world. Through the course of this, I have a Fish and a Rhystic out, and I'm getting dinged. By the time I won, I was down. Oh, I won the game, by the way. By the time I won the game, I was at 4 life. At some point, I had to start denying triggers on my Rhystic and Fish because I was just going to die to the triggers. One of the last draws I hit was a Bowmaster's. So in response to the lethal dual caster mage, I'm able to snipe their Bowmaster's, let the trigger resolve. They make infinite dual casters and infinite dorks. With no red mana, so they cannot filter. My Hullbreaker Horror reanimation inevitably resolves. Go into my turn. I untap everything. I upkeep. I take a big breath. I draw for turn. I take another big breath. I cast Born Upon the Wind. Bounce the only Stax creature in the world that could stop me, which I think was a Talion? Something. It was something that was, it was like some minor thing that was stopping me. And they go, the Kenrith player goes, I'm good to concede. The Garuda player goes, I'm also good to concede. You got there, buddy. The victory yell could be heard throughout the entire shop. Because everyone would like walk by and be like, yep, they're still going. They're still going. And you probably heard, you might have heard us, but like we started off, we're like all laughing and smiling. And we're like, yeah, watch, like an hour and a half into this game, we're all going to like want to die. And we look over and you guys just look so miserable, and we're like laughing and like having a good time, and like we're all doing stuff, and it was such a good game. Everyone was pretty much on top of their game. Everyone was threatening. Everyone was online. Everyone could stop everyone. It was just nuts. Such a good game of Commander. Holy shit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Our Ice game was not like that at all. It was very stressful, and no one was enjoying themselves.
Yeah, no, it looked like that. And then we get into Finals, and Finals is just such a whatever game. I'm very drained at this point, and I kind of just don't care. Like, I reached Mount Olympus at this point. I got my playmat. I got to Finals. I don't care if I win the whole thing. I made my goal in substantially farther than I thought I would have. I keep like a weird hand, which was Entomb, Reanimate, Soul Ring, Mayhem Devil, Dockside into a pod of Sisse, Malcolm Kettis, and Derevi. And I go, oh, this hand's sick. I just murk every creature on the board and I'll just land an advantage engine and like, I'll just take over the game. We're on easy street. Not really easy street. It was kind of just frustrating. I had a force plus pitch, and I made a judgment call to force and negation the Sisse player's Rhystic Study, which was kind of iffy then, I think is the incorrect move now, especially seeing as after that happens, the Malcolm Kettis player went one ring, and then the Derevi player went run ring, and I went, yep, I don't think I ever counterspell the Rhystic Study. I think I always counterspell the one ring now. Learned my lesson on that one. I was just so scared of the Malcolm Kettis player trying to pop off through Rhystic Study and not getting there because they tried to pop off through Rhystic Study and us just dying to the Sisse player. That is not what happened. Instead, the Malcolm Kettis player tried to just force it nearly every single turn past a certain point. I went Entomb, Reanimate for a Niv-Mizzet, thinking, oh, Blue Red Storm, they're gonna try and feed it some spells. I'm just gonna start picking off the board. And then I'm going to untap, I'm going to Dockside, I'm going to Mayhem Devil. Between their treasures on the battlefield and my treasures on the battlefield, we are just going to hard control the game until either they try to go for a win or I accrue enough advantage that I'm able to just stomp the game out. That's not really what happened. Derby player is annoying and frustrating to play against. At some point, we're like mildly discussing the board and I have to bring up their board into consideration. And they go on like this really annoying tirade of like, I don't care. I'm here to play my game. You can counterspell whatever I want. I'm not telling you what I'm going to tutor. I'm not going to tell you what to counter, but blah, 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 blah. And I just go, okay, dude, sure, whatever. And just generally being unpleasant to be around and really annoying. And after their whole tirade, I'm drawing dead at this point. I just draw nothing. They land in Lavinia. I have a bunch of zero cost rocks and a Rhystic Study with two lands out that I cannot cast. And I'm just hard out of the game. The Mayhem Devil gets dealt with at some point. The Niv-Mizzet gets dealt with at some point. Sisse's trying to jockey for a decent position. They're slowly getting there, but their pips are being taken off the board by other players, and I'm being politicked into dealing with their stuff. And I'm like, not really. They're kind of out of the game. They need their advantage. Me and the Sisse player are the most out of the game we've ever been. I cannot fathom ripping away their parts when I need them online and I have nothing. At some point, the Derevi player starts going, well, we need to get rid of this Urtide that stopped a game-winning Dockside from the Malcolm Kettis player. I just didn't have any of my control pieces anymore. And I snap back with, dog, if you're not willing to tell us any information on what you're doing, why should we listen to you and your board assessment? Like, just straight up, like, if you're not willing to work with us, why should we listen to you? Like, even if they were correct, I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, you are saying you're not wanting to participate in this. You're not going to participate in this. That's kind of the downside of this. Makes it really annoying when they have basically ran the entire game unchecked, and the Malcolm Kettis player misplays a bolt on the white-black ETB blanket graveyard guy. They thought it was not worded the way it was, and they had breach in hand and were fully clear to breach, but they wasted the mana on something that they didn't need to waste the mana on, and pass the turn to the Derevi player, which functionally ran unchecked the entire game. They have Gaia's Cradle, they have the One Ring, they have an Elesh Norn. Just a miserable end. I really wish my semifinals game was the actual finals game, because oh my god, it's such a snoozer of a game. Just really annoying and really, really unpleasant.
That's unfortunate that your first finals game, because this was your first finals game, so congratulations, Joe! Woo! Yes, party speakers, party poppers.
That Joe put the cheering noise in here.
Clapping. Yeah. The crowd goes wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a bummer that you didn't enjoy your first finals pod.
It is what it is. I mean, at this point, I think I have to hang up the hat of, like, I'm a bad Magic player and I'm a bad CDH player because I made it to finals in what is usually one of the toughest majors in our areas. So, no longer say that. I can only say I'm a mediocre Magic player now. Sad. But no, it was stellar run. The deck was insane. I felt like I was playing pretty much outside of my head the entire game. And I was just making good calls left and right, and literally only lost in Swiss to Sisse plus Smothering Tide. Twice I lost to that combination of cards. That was the funniest.
It's a powerful combo.
It's a really powerful combo. I am killing every Smothering Tide I see for so long until I can guarantee pay for my draw step. It does not get to exist on the battlefield. I swear to God. Oh God, no! It was an insane run. I am so pleased with myself. I've come a long way, and it's such a crowning achievement for me that I feel like, okay, I can actually, like, do this. I have the chops to, like, make it here, and now I have the proof to back that up.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's getting all the way to a finals bout is hard work, no matter what tournament you're at, because competition only gets more honed in as you move up those ranks.
God, no kidding. Like, we sat down and we're like, oh, we're all on, well, minus the Garuda player, but even then, they were like a weird, they were a stormy list. So, like, my semis final game was, it was just a nightmare, and the finals, if we played properly, would also have been a nightmare, but we didn't, and we discussed it a bunch afterwards, and, like, it just, we should have fought the Drevi player more, and we should have dealt with their stuff more, and me and you talked afterwards. I completely forgot that we put Massacre Girl in, and we both realized afterwards Massacre Girl was the correct Entomb reanimate target, not Niv-Mizzet, because then May and Bill just start pinging things off and drawing cards.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot about the interaction, to be quite
crazy
honest.
Crazy card.
I kind of forgot Massacre Girl was a card, period, if I'm being honest. It was one of those changes that we made that just felt very inconsequential.
Yeah, it was a last second, right? It was a last second change, too. We added that card, like, the night before.
Yeah, we had made some discussions on the deck, and we swapped out Shieldred for it because we figured it was going to be more relevant, and didn't really come up at all, honestly. All the other changes we made felt pretty relevant. Like, I won a game off Hullbreaker Horror. Necromancy was really, really good just because I could threaten it at any time. It was just a really solid piece of interaction value. Yeah, no, it's super, super good. Hellcat's going to take a break, though. We're back to the baby pod.
Back on the baby pod, that baby pod cry.
Yeah. Got some new ideas for that one. That'll be what we're tinkering around with. I might take Hellcat to the next major. Haven't fully decided yet, but we'll see. But yeah,
that's awesome.
That's the Gabby's turn. That's their first home game of the year, and boy, did really good.
That is an awesome conclusion to the first event at Gabby's. Super proud of you for making it all the way up there, especially
Thank
after
you.
You've been grinding that deck for so long.
Yeah, since November I've been grinding the deck, I think.
Yeah, I think you're probably on like 6 to 8 months, somewhere in that range, right?
No.
Right, what, February? November? Okay, so like 4 or 5.
Like 4 months. 4 months of grinding the deck, like, nonstop and just getting everything down. Oh my god. MVP of the entire day was Born Upon. Every single time I had that card in my hand, I felt like I could take on the entire I could not be stopped with that card.
That card is very nutty.
I don't understand that people are like, oh, this card's mid. I'm like, this card says win the game on. This is a legal flash. What are you talking about? Yeah. Silly, silly card.
Legal flash. Please don't say that. Please don't raise my trauma.
No, I'm sorry. It kind of is. You have to cast every single card in your deck at instant speed with, like, the insane value we have in this game is ridiculous. That card plus
Breach. Crazy.
Oh my god, nut. Just crazy. It's absolutely wild.
Yeah.
That's the tournament.
I don't think there's much else to cover.
I forgot I told the we had Natali play. I said I would talk about their turn one kill on the podcast.
They had a turn one kill round one,
like seat two or something. They had a turn one kill. Essentially, they were able to land a turn one Treasonous Ogre, dump their entire life total into Natali, and just flip over just the absolute stone. They flip into Eldritch Evolution plus extra stuff, cast Eldritch Evolution, get the Hellkite Courser, the guy that puts your commander from the command zone onto the battlefield, get another trigger, find their own Eldritch Evolution, some more value pieces, get Rionya, make a bunch more mana, recast the Atali, go to combat, four extra triggers on the Atali, and just wipe the table out. It was insane. they came up to me and told me afterwards. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Just insane. Just crazy shit. That deck is cool, though. It's funny. It's just red-green turbo.
Red-green does go very fast.
Especially when it gets access to Trees of Stoker.
That's, yeah. Trees of Stoker is honestly one of my nightmare cards, because it's one of those things where it's like, yo, you're running mono red and you're like, Godo's your commander or whatever, or you're in red green and Atali's your commander, and you're like, oh man, I should hit you because you're on Treason's Ogre, and theoretically, your life total matters, but also that ad nauseum player over there looking mighty juicy.
It really is. The mono red ad nauseum player is kind of crazy.
Hard call, hard call.
But yeah, that's about all I got for this week's tournament recap. Next major is the Cascade Clash, right?
It is the Cascade Clash. That one, get a chance to redeem myself, hopefully.
Absolutely. Well,
and you'll continue your streak.
We'll see. I don't know. we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Anything could happen. I felt like my wins either hard fought or kind of handed to me at least a little bit, but I feel like that's kind of how the game goes. So we'll see. There's a bunch of good players in that area. And the last time I was up in that area, it was not a great showing, so we'll see.
All right, we will see. And I guess that's the point where you say, we'll see you next time.